Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your attention and attendance here this afternoon. May I formally open the meeting of the Inner West Local Planning Panel of the 29th of October 2019. At the outset, I'd like to acknowledge the Gadigal and the Wangal people of the Eora Nation, on whose country we're meeting today, and their elders past and present. Are there any declarations of pecuniary interest and non-pecuniary interest by members of the panel?
No,
I have no interest.
Okay, thank you. Therefore, none of the panel, including myself, have any declarations to make. May I introduce the panel? For those members of the audience who haven't been to one before, this is an independent panel appointed by the state to deal with certain matters under the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act, and we have delegation to approve or refuse or defer and make decisions in regard to the applications before us today. In order that you will know the expertise of those people on the panel, who are all independent, I'll ask them to give a brief summary of their experience. On my far left, I have Mrs. Mary Lynn Taylor.
Mary Lynn? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm a planning lawyer and I'm on a number of panels, including the state panel and some other local panels.
Thank you, Mary Lynn. And on my left is Kenneth Hawke.
I've lived in the Inner West area for over 45 years, and I've worked in local government planning for 40 years, and prior to my retirement was the Director of Planning at Marrickville Council.
And on my right is Mrs. Jan Murrell.
Good afternoon, Jan Murrell. I'm a planner of some 40 years' experience. I retired some 6 years ago as a full-time Commissioner of the Land and Environment Court, where I was there for 14 years. And since that time, my only role is to sit on independent planning panels in the capacity of chair or expert. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Murrell. My name is Kev Hoffman. I've been appointed as a chair of the meeting today. My experience is in architecture and town planning. I've, like Jan, have been a Commissioner of the Land and Environment Court of New South Wales for 14 years. Prior to that, I was a founding director of a multidisciplinary consultancy in architecture, town planning and landscape architecture. Prior to that, I was chief town planner of a sub-region of New South Wales. And since retirement from the court, like some of the other members, I serve on several panels similar to this one. Now, the general procedures for running the meeting, for those who haven't been to one previously, the meeting's recorded and speakers should be aware that in making their presentation, they should be careful not to use offensive language or give offence to others, whether they're present at the meeting or not. The items on the agenda will be dealt with in the order on the agenda unless the chair or the panel receives a request and agrees to a change. Speakers on the various items are registered with council prior to this meeting. Additional speakers are usually not allowed. When each item has its turn, I will invite speakers in turn to come to the end of the table down there where it's convenient. And you'll see the microphone. It's got a button that needs to be pressed, and you'll see the microphone will light up to show it's operating. Now, normally we give speakers 3 minutes to make their presentation. At the end of that time, a chime will ring. I may allow more time, but we encourage speakers not to repeat points already made by others unless there's a contrary opinion. After the 3 minutes, the panel may wish to ask questions, and Those attending here today should be aware that from last week the panel has had the council officers' reports and the plans and a summary of the submissions from the public to read, and then today we have visited the site of each item, and for those persons who have a submission and request a particular visit, the panel has been to see their concerns. Now, in most cases, the panel will make a decision today on each item, either approval, refusal, amended conditions, or potentially a deferral if the matter can't be resolved in the panel's opinion on today's information. Now, that's the general guideline, and I hope that will enable us to run a meeting smoothly. Taking the first item on the agenda, it's I'll just turn through to it. It's DA 2019-00238, 122 Victoria Street, Dulwich Hill, to restore and reconstruct the heritage listed dwelling house following the unauthorised partial demolition of the structures. Now, I don't think there's any speakers on that matter. No, there aren't. So the panel was able to consider this, and we can possibly move directly to a conclusion. So I believe in this matter the panel's common view is that the officer's report is quite detailed and informative. This is a heritage item, and it's of some clear value when you see it, and it's commendable that the applicant's actually going to restore it on the site so that it can be used in the future and continue to be used as a residence. I think if the technical people can put the recommendation up on the computer. Okay. The recommendation is A, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the council as the consent authority pursuant to section 4.16 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act 1979, grants consent to development application number DA 2019-00238 to restore and reconstruct the heritage listed dwelling house following the unauthorised partial demolition of the structures at 122 Victoria Street, Dulwich Hill, subject to the condition listed in Attachment A to this consent. And Attachment A is, of course, in the agenda papers. That concludes the first item. Can I ask for the vote from the panel?
Approved.
Yes. Yes, that's unanimous. We'll move to the next item, which is DA 2015-00632.03, 819 New Canterbury Road, Dulwich Hill. And that is an application to modify determination number 2015-00632.02 under section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning Assessment Act to construct an additional story of above buildings A and B, resulting in a five-story mixed-use development. Now, this is an already approved development, which is four stories, and the applicant submitted plans to amend the interior layout of some apartments and to vary the top floor by putting extensions to the top floor units on the next level to make it five stories. Now, on this matter, I have only one person listed to speak, and that's Giovanni Cirillo. Is Mr. Cirillo there? Thank you. Would you like to come forward? Now, as I said, you need to press the button on the microphone.
Thank you very much. I won't delay the panel greatly. I'm simply here to answer questions, to speak in favour of the officer's recommendation. We reviewed the report. The report has made a thorough investigation of the compliances and non-compliances with the relevant LEP and DCP controls, so I won't restate them other than to say we support the officer's findings. Certainly the assessment also has done a detailed assessment against the New South Wales Apartment Design Guide, to which it finds either compliance or in fact greater than compliance in regards to residential amenity. Insofar as the impacts are concerned, there's really one substantive impact, and that is an assessment of overshadowing. And in fact, the shadow diagrams that have been submitted in the report before you demonstrates there is no impact upon residential accommodation in the vicinity of the development. So we've reviewed the report. We thank the officers for their attention, and we certainly thank the panel for their consideration of the matter.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Cirillo. Any questions from the panel?
You have no comment on the conditions as recommended? You're satisfied with the conditions?
We agree with the recommendation and the conditions. Thank you.
All right. Now, as you might imagine, since this is an existing approved development, the major thing we need to do is amend a couple of the conditions in the existing consent to accommodate the revised plans, and that's been incorporated in the recommendation here, and we have been able to consider it after visiting the site and reading the officer's reports. Can the technical staff put up the recommendation? Thank you. The recommendation I'll read: A, that the Inner West Local Planning Panel, exercising the functions of the Council as the consent authority, pursuant to section 4.55 of the Environmental Planning and Assessment Act 1979, grant approval to modification application number DA 20150062.03 to modified determination number 20150062.02, dated 14th of June 2018, to construct an additional story above buildings A and B, resulting in a five-storey mixed-use development at 819 New Canterbury Road, Dulwich Hill, with condition number 1 modified as follows and condition number 4 deleted. Now, I won't read out condition 1 because it's a table of all the drawings, which incorporates the amended drawings and their identification. And except to say, the development must be carried out in accordance with the plans and details listed in that table and details submitted to Council on the 6th of November 2015 and the 24th of March 2016 and the 7th of July 2016 with the application for development consent, and as amended by the following conditions. And the reason is to confirm the details of the application submitted by the applicant. Can I ask the panel to vote?
Approved.
Thank you. That decision is also unanimous. I beg your pardon?
I don't be reading what's on the screen. What you're reading out is not what's on the screen.
Isn't it? Why not?
Well, because you're reading the council's version. Then you only need to read that sentence.
Right. Okay. Moving to the next item. It's application number DA 2015 00378 0.04, and the address is 31A Mallet Street, Camperdown. And it's an application to modify determination number 20150378 to continue extended trading hours for the restaurant between 6 a.m. to 12 midnight, Mondays to Saturdays, and 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sundays and public holidays, and the hours of operation for the Caravan Cafe being between the hours of 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. daily, including public holidays. Now, I have two people registered to speak on this matter. There's a Josh Martin and a Dean Thomas. Are they present? Okay. Would Mr. Martin like to come first? Thank you, Mr. Martin.
Thank you. I'm just here talking on behalf of the residents, specifically of Pidcock Street, the neighbouring street. We feel like the officer's report doesn't entirely reflect the accurate information around this. There's been many, many complaints made to the venue and the management over the past couple of years. We have never complained to the council, as the complaints happen after hours and there is nothing that can be done at that time. We've also had to call the local police in order for them to do something about excessive noise, music and drunk people. If we'd known that the complaints had to be made to council to have any effect, we would have done so. I note that there are reporting obligations on complaints for this development, and yet none of them are reflected in this report. Under the condition, there must be records of these, so it would be good that they were considered as part of this. We feel that, in essence, the stringent conditions, which were most welcome in the original recommendation, haven't entirely been met. Staff often do not take steps to control the noisy or offensive behaviour. If we have a complaint, they often cannot hear the phone in order to take the complaint, and the after hours number is directed to the Canterbury Helston Park RSL, who are often powerless to do anything about it because they can't get through to the venue either. Audio limiters that are part of the conditions on the speakers are routinely bypassed on a nearly weekly basis in summer. People who hire the venue bring in their own sound systems and they do not have limiters on them. And events on myriad of occasions go past 9:45 p.m. It's also stated that background music is the only type of entertainment allowed in the public areas, yet there are routinely live musical performances, bands, DJs. These are amplified and are not really in the acoustic style spirit of the DA. I should note that the RSL management have been very helpful when we have raised complaints, but there does seem to be a disconnect between the RSL management and the local management, and staff changes and it happens again, and the rules aren't enforced. Just one further point I would like to draw your attention to. There's been some modifications to the Bogola area bordering Pidcock Street, which weren't in the initial plans, and a roof was added essentially to a Bogola area, resulting in the sound being funneled and directed towards residents. This roof was not in the original plans and has sort of severely affected the acoustic amenity of the area. Basically, we're just asking that you defer the decision a little bit longer until you can get a more accurate reflection of the complaints to both the management and the police, and also look into that additional roof area. We really would love an 11 o'clock finish, which is consistent with the rest of the site with the tennis courts at the end of the day. Otherwise, the venue can go to midnight. The tennis courts start at 6. Mm. It's really not much.
Yes, I'll allow you
much.
To continue.
Thank you so much. We just feel that a consistency with an 11 o'clock change is not unreasonable. And if required, just extend the period, trial period for 1 year as opposed to 4 years. Now that we know the rules to make complaints to council, residents could more accurately have this information to you. Thank you.
All right. Any questions? I'd like to ask one just a little more about the roof. Just whereabouts is it? We've got plans here. Can you indicate where the roof's been added?
There's a pergola area bordering Pidcock Street near the garden shed, I think.
Mm-hmm. Just a second while I turn it up.
It's listed next to the outdoor outdoor pergola area next to the farm office.
Okay.
So it's a sort of one of those plastic roofs has been added. Yeah.
Yeah, just a second. I'm having trouble getting to it. Sorry. Where? All right. Okay. I can see on the plan I'm looking at, which is DA0003 issue A, I've been indicated an area called outdoor pergola area next to Pidcock Street. There's also a demonstration garden there adjoining it. Is the demonstration garden also roofed?
No, I don't believe so. There's a roofed area that was on an initial plan, but it's this the area next to the farm office.
Right.
And as the... In essence, I don't think it was factored into the initial acoustic report, so it might seem small, but that roof then sort of directs the noise. It sort of funnels right. it and has that sort of increased adverse effect. It wasn't as bad at the beginning,
yeah.
But over time it's got worse. Yeah.
Have you reported that to the council before?
I don't know. I haven't personally, I don't believe. Yeah.
Do the council officers know about it at all? No, you don't. All right. Well, that's a matter we'll have to take into account. And you're saying you prefer an... An 11 o'clock finish at the same time as the tennis courts finish.
Correct. So the RSL also has taken over the management of the tennis courts, which is sort of part of the one site. And there's been... like with the rest of the inner west, there's been a very increased intensity of activity over the last 10 years. But the tennis courts now are an outdoor gym. They have soccer, they have tennis. They're very well utilised. But obviously there's an increase in noise from that, which is just by the by. And we just asked that the entire site had an 11 o'clock finish as opposed to midnight. Yeah, because the addition of that is that, you know, people come out of the venue then at midnight and mill around, and it can go quite late, especially in summer.
All right.
So would that be every night of the week, or just would you allow it for, say, Friday and Saturday nights to be midnight?
I mean, obviously our preference would be consistent. They say they don't go to midnight anyway, so I don't entirely know why they would like a midnight finish if they're not using it. So I just ask that it reflects the reality.
Okay. All right. Ms. Taylor, one question.
Mr. Martin, have you been able to read the council report to us?
Have I read the council report?
Yes.
The recent one?
Yes.
Yes.
And the council comments on issues raised by objectors, and I wondered if you thought that the comments dealt with your concerns.
They were in the report. I don't feel they were dealt with, no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we ought to break for this one.
Thank you. Well, we'll hear from... if there's no more questions, we'll hear from Mr. Thomas next.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Dean Thomas, if you wouldn't mind. Thank you, Mr. Thomas. It says that you're care of the Camperdown Project Proprietary Limited. Is that the operator of the premises? You're the applicant, I can see, but either the licensee or the operator or the manager, or what's your relation to the RSL?
I'm the CEO at Canterbury Hilston Park RSL.
And okay.
The Camperdown Commons, the project, is administered through our wholly owned subsidiary, which is Camperdown Project Proprietary Limited, of which I'm the company secretary.
Okay. So you sound as though you're pretty authorised to speak.
I am authorised to speak, yes.
So what have you got to say about Mr Martin's comments?
Josh and I have spoken in the past about the operation at Camperdown.
Yeah.
Clearly I'm here in support of the application.
Mm-hmm.
And to answer any questions the panel has, I acknowledge in the past there's been occasions when the neighbours in Pidcock Street have had cause to complain about the operations, the restaurant operations. In my view, they're isolated. And it's my understanding that recently there are no complaints, to my knowledge, from the site. So the application gives effect to allow the restaurant to operate up until 12 o'clock. The reality is on site, that's very much the exception, not the rule. The nature of the restaurant operation is most nights it's closed by 10 p.m. It's very important to the business, however, in the peak period of trade, which we're coming into now, which is Christmas time, that it has the ability to trade past 11 and up to that time to accommodate the people who want to use the site. So I acknowledge what Josh said. There have been some isolated incidents where neighbours have had cause to complain. As the operator, we've dealt with that and reminded the restaurant operator of their obligations under the plan of management.
Okay. But Mr Martin said that when he calls the... I don't know if it's you he calls or somebody else, that at the time it's happening, nothing can be done about it because... your organisation can't get through to the cafe to talk to anybody. So you'd need to have a contact on site.
That's been addressed. There was a couple of occasions where the restaurant operator did not answer the phone. And I'm aware of one occasion where Josh himself attended the site. I attended the site myself. There's been a change in management on the restaurant side. And a change... in a new phone system. So from my understanding is now that the restaurants, the operators are available at all times to address any concerns.
All right.
Which is what you would expect.
Yes. Well, particularly since he says they've had to call the police a couple of times.
I'm not aware of the police attending.
Right.
But they could well have. But I'm certainly not aware of any... notices from police or breaches in any way.
Okay, so there's been no paperwork for these things?
No, I have been in correspondence with some of the neighbours, Josh included, and I've sought to address their concerns through making the management of the restaurant aware of their obligations, and it's my understanding that in the last 12 months it's improved significantly.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions, please?
Just on that point, do you keep a complaints register so that you, as the head CEO, can go to that and see whether, in fact, there have been complaints made?
It's an obligation to the restaurant operator as a licensee to have an incident register, which would include complaints.
Have you looked at that?
Yes, yeah. It's a... The things that are in that are the things that Josh has referred to.
Right. And so you would have no objection to... a condition which requires a complaints register to be kept on site and available for inspection by council at any time?
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
So, in fact, it identifies when the complaint or incident has occurred and the action that's been taken, whether it's been resolved, etc. And then for the mobile telephone number of whoever is in charge, the manager or licensee, for his number to be displayed at the front of the premises so that residents have the opportunity to phone if necessary?
I think the first part, an incident register, a complaints register, is appropriate. It's very important to our organisation that the amenity of the neighbourhood is maintained and that our reputation is also maintained. I think, however, on your second point, that with the changes that have been made... at all times a restaurant is open, the restaurant phone number will ring and someone will answer it. So I don't believe there's a need for a licensee's mobile phone number to be displayed, just on that second point. I think that's already been addressed with the operator.
Mm-hmm.
So is the phone number displayed at the front of the premises for someone to ring that would be answered?
The number, yeah, the number of the restaurant, if that's a requirement, the restaurant number, yeah, that can be done.
It's common practice with these sorts of establishments for that to be available, because otherwise if people can't contact anybody, then there's no point in trying to complain.
Yeah, it's my understanding that the phone is being answered now, but if that's what the panel feels would be appropriate, then fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Just one other question in terms of the opening hours. Do you require it till midnight every night of the week, or is it just certain nights where there is a demand for an opening till midnight?
Broadly speaking, later in the week, Friday and Saturday is busier. However, at different times of the year, there's different demand on different evenings. So we think the times that have been in place, so the restaurant's been open since June 2016, so we think maintaining the hours that have been there would be appropriate. Again, we acknowledge there's been some issues, but they've been largely addressed, so it would be our recommendation that the hours that have been there would be maintained. It's hard to say when people might want it, so that's why having that capacity would be, in our view, appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Tuttle?
Yes, Mr. Thomas, how have the issues been addressed?
With the neighbours?
Yes.
We've made it clear to the management on site that the couple of incidents, or the incidents that happened, were not appropriate, and they addressed it through their manner of operations.
And so, how do you know that?
I've seen it on site, and there's, to my knowledge, there hasn't been any further complaints. There was a period probably 18 months ago where there was a number of issues, and that really went down to a particular individual on the site who was managing some events, and we addressed that with the owners of that business, and I guess what I would say is we don't any longer have any complaints.
And this business with the phone not being answered, what have you done about that?
Again, we've made it clear that that's a minimum requirement is that you answer the phone when it rings. So that should just happen.
So, Mr. Thomas, the report that's come to us has said that there is no evidence to suggest that there has ever been any poor management of the venue, yet the evidence from the residents is that there has been. And the fault was that they didn't complain to either the police or to the council. So what's come before us is incorrect, even on your own statements.
I wouldn't characterise it as incorrect. With respect, I'm not sure that when you say residents, Josh, obviously...
Josh's... it's his point of view, and I've spoken with two other people in Pidcock Street, in addition to Josh. There was a handful of incidents where they complained, and some of those, they were in the right. So that in the last, the site's been open for since 2016, June 2016. So for a busy business, that's not uncommon to have some issues. So I wouldn't characterise the report as incorrect, with respect.
Well, we'll have to disagree with that.
Fair enough.
May I
speak to Josh? Yes. I think Mrs. Taylor would like to hear from...
Can I have a question?
You can. I'm sorry. Mr. Hawke.
I'm trying to get some sort of idea about the intensity of the use, and nothing in the current... plan of management or in fact the approval that you got. Can you tell me how many people you get there on a Friday, Saturday night?
The site really at its busiest during the day, during the weekend. So there's continual use. The area Josh referred to is on the side adjacent to Pitcock Street is the farm area, where there's common, what we call common spaces. There's a common pavilion and a common room and a farm beds and the demonstration garden. That's low intensity generally, although those areas are used for functions and events from time to time. The issues we did have is when some of those functions and events created noise for residents. That's the issue that's been addressed. So those spaces which are near Pidcock Street, we've sought to de-intensify their use in more recent times. So, and then if you look at the restaurant itself, the trading from 10 p.m. onwards would be inside those areas, and that's a requirement under the plan of management that everyone moves inside those areas at 10 p.m. To answer you, it's a long-winded answer to your question, but the restaurant would seat around 150 people. So on a Friday and Saturday night, that would turn over and be relatively busy. And then on the other side, which is towards Camperdown Oval, those spaces would probably accommodate another 100, 150 people. And there are functions and events from time to time in the common spaces. But the majority of the time, the common spaces are used for community events, not-for-profit groups using those for meetings and events.
Do you have any comment about the pergola enclosure?
The pergola is an area which is a demonstration garden. That's used mainly by school groups, so used during school hours primarily. We did put a cover on that so that it could be used in all weather and to also capture rainfall as part of the overall demonstration garden experience. So there's a small tank there and a cover was put over it just for an all-weather solution. But that area is really only used by small, mainly school groups, as a demonstration garden.
So when was the cover put on the pergola?
In the last 6 months.
Okay. Well, a pergola by definition is an open structure without a roof or whatever.
That's right.
I'm just saying to you, it requires consent to cover a pergola.
Yeah, it's a like your typical plastic cover over the top of the pergola. Yeah.
Well, it sounds as though it's causing some increased acoustic noise in Pidcock Street. But listen, Mrs. Taylor wanted to hear from Mr. Martin again, so we might recall you if we could, Mr. Martin. Now, I wonder if there's another chair there so you can both sit together. Officer, could you just move one of these chairs around, please? Oh, thanks. Well, that's good. Thank you. Okay, now Mrs. Taylor.
Thank you. Mr. Isolated events, all been fixed up, no problems in the last 6 months. Is this correct?
Look, I do acknowledge that Dean has been very helpful in helping it. I wouldn't in terms of complaints, yes, they have been rectified, but I do respectfully disagree on that they're occasional events. To me, occasional is every month or so. There are weddings every weekend or large events with, you know, whatever they might be. In essence, it sort of has become, in our view, a wedding centre, which is within the conditions. But obviously, weddings are joyous, loud celebrations. So to me, it's just a mischaracterisation that it's an occasional use thing. And to Dean's point, though, there has been a de-intensification, if that's a word, since the sort of serious issues of a while back, and we thank him for that. I guess we are still just wary that if 4 further years were to be approved, there's the potential for, you know, that to escalate again.
And just on his point about the roof over the pergola, that it's only used by children during daylight hours.
I'm not sure. I mean, to me, it's more that that wasn't at the very beginning of this process. There was a great deal of community consultation, which we really appreciated, and a lot of acoustic work was done. And look, it's just one of those things where a roof has been added, and it. Whereas before, I guess I'm not a sound expert, but the sound would sort of dissipate into the atmosphere. Now it sort of is funneled towards the houses. I'm sure it's an unintended consequence, but it's a consequence nonetheless.
So are you hearing noise then at night time as though the activities in the rest of the cafe are perhaps being reflected through, or what?
I should clarify, it's not exactly the cafe. We are talking about the community space, which is which is the function centre. The cafe, a lot of work, which is when the initial consents went through, addressed that. And pushed the noises towards the park, which is terrific. At the time, we never envisaged that the community space would have the level of intensification it does with weddings and birthdays and whatnot. I just wanted to make the point that it's not really occasional. It's multiple events every weekend, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, but we're now addressing that new roof over the pergola area.
Sorry, yeah.
That's what we're talking. We want you to focus on now.
Okay, so yeah. That well, my point was, I guess that community space is very well utilised, and when there is amplified music there and general hubbub, it's that noise is just purely funneled towards Pidcock Street in a way that I guess was not intended.
Okay.
And what time do these events finish, generally?
Well, to Dean's point, it has been a lot better over the last 12 months, but generally summer is where the main issues have been, and as we're approaching summer and you have Christmas parties and all of this sort of stuff, it happens on Fridays, Saturdays, Sunday nights, Saturday and Sunday afternoons as well. Mornings are often used for things like yoga and stuff, which was our initial understanding of how it would be used. And that's not an issue at all, and nor is the school group and the farm and all of that. We really love that.
Any more questions?
Thank you. Mr. Martin, on the weekends when there are weddings, do the weddings take place over the whole of the site, or do they just take place in the restaurant?
Well, to my knowledge, they happen in the community space nearest to Pidcock Street. They may spill into the restaurant, but I'm not entirely sure across the details of the operations. The predominant space is in that community space with tables.
I'm looking at the effect of noise on your property.
Yes.
At night.
At night, yeah.
So is it closer to your property than the restaurant, or is it in the restaurant?
No, closer to the properties, yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Well, just to clarify that point, Mr. Thomas said that... that in the evening people are restricted to what's on the plan called the F&B Pavilion. That is in. And the central deck, and I suppose the covered deck, which is over towards the park and the tennis courts. Is that right, Mr. Thomas? You're saying that's where the activity is. You can use the same mic, I think.
Yeah, if you have the plan in front of you.
Yeah. I do. There's a recreation pavilion too, and I think when we were on site today, it doesn't have any enclosure.
So if you're looking at it and you see Pidcock Street,
yes,
where it says recreation pavilion, common deck and community rooms,
yes,
that space there may be used up until 10 p.m.
Okay.
That has to be vacated by 10 p.m.
Yeah.
And then after that, people would have to move inside where it says F&B Pavilion, which is fully enclosed,
right,
and to move inside that space.
Okay.
So after 10 p.m, all people are within a fully enclosed space.
All right.
And then the reality is, people start to move off site from then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you. Any other questions from the panel? Now, a couple of the panel members said they wanted to adjourn to discuss our decision on this. Is that still the case?
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll take a short adjournment. With these adjournments, I really can't say how long they'll take, but I would expect 10 or 15 minutes at the most. Okay? Just so that we can get our heads together. Thank you very much. You may stay there. Yes.
Thank you.